Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's the final hour in this Wednesday. We're down a man, down a Danette. Marvin has jury duty. For the first time ever, NASCAR is hitting the city streets of Chicago. Don't miss out on all the action Sunday on NBC and Peacock. Stat of the day is always brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. There's random things that kind of come into my head. And I said to Todd, I said, is the anniversary of Mike Tyson biting Evander Holyfield, is that today? And Todd goes, I don't know. And then all of a sudden he finds out that it is. And then now he's an expert on Mike Tyson. It was 26 years ago today.
Exactly.
This was the rematch. This was Tyson Holyfield 2. And that was in Las Vegas.
Fight night.
Yeah. And Mills Lane was...
Let's get it on. Mike, right. You bit him. Take it a point. Do it again. You're out.
That was a big deal at the time. That was a big deal.
It was crazy. He bit his ear.
I know.
It spit out a chunk of it.
Bit it off, not a nibble.
I know. Gosh.
He bit a chunk out of his ear.
Yeah.
I'm reading some of the laying in the ring.
Holyfield won the first three rounds with 32 seconds left in the second round. Holyfield ducked under a right from Tyson, and his head went up and caught Tyson not a headbutt, more like just a collision. Mm. But Tyson was very upset because he got hit in the right eye. And that's when he started to lose it.
I think he had been headbutt a few times in that match, I think.
Yes.
And he was clearly getting frustrated and starting to lose his cool.
That is the highest grossing pay-per-view, at least it was at the time. There were just under 2 million buys of that fight. The first fight to break $100 million in revenues. But Mike couldn't figure out Evander Holyfield. You know, Holyfield wasn't a power puncher. He was really not a heavyweight, but he did move up. The purse was going to be bigger. But he was a better boxer than Mike. And Holyfield frustrated him, so much so that he ended up biting his ear. Mike also has a cannabis company, and he does have Holyfield ears that are edibles. So, and it has the bite mark out of the ear, and you can buy this edible. It's got CBD. And I think it's called Mike's Bites, and it's just ears. You can get Evander Holyfield's ear.
It's a little extra chewy, I think.
Yeah.
A little wax on it. Yeah. It's kind of gross.
Yes, Paul.
I just watched back the video, and so after the second round, Tyson is in his corner. He's very upset, and the bell rings for round three. And Tyson comes out without his mouthpiece and is trying to talk to Mills Lane, but the round had started. So Holyfield's going in to punch him in the face. And they kind of slow things down and they make him put his mouthpiece in, and Tyson's getting frustrated. He bites him, but you really can't see it because they were like nuzzled. Their heads were kind of nuzzled against each other. Yeah. The camera doesn't pick it up and the ref doesn't pick it up. So the first time, Mills Lane is confused and Holyfield's trying to say it, but he also says, let's get it back going. And then the second one is out of hand.
Yes, Tom.
And seeing Holyfield leaping up in the air, holding his ears like that,
imagine.
Was so wild.
Holyfield and Tyson were going to fight in 1990. But then Tyson lost to Buster Douglas. Holyfield was next after Tyson was supposed to beat Buster Douglas. And then they were going to fight the following year. Tyson was convicted of rape in 1992. So then they had to hold off. Tyson was released from prison in 1995. And then they finally met in 1996. Holyfield, I don't remember this. He became the first fighter since Ali to win the heavyweight title three times. Holyfield Tyson 2 was booked as Sound and Fury. Tyson suffered a cut over his left eye in training camp. Then they had to postpone that. And then they had the event of the year is what it was called by Ring Magazine in 1997. Tyson was a big favorite in this, despite a loss in the first fight. So he was 34-1. And in his fights that lasted three rounds or fewer, he had 56 career fights, but 34-1.
After the fight against Holyfield with the bit in the ear, the Nevada State Athletic Commission banned him, fined him $3 million, and shockingly, less than 2 years later, they reinstated him.
But he was also, so I think he was, that's 10% of the amount of money that he made that night. He made $30 million, I think, that night for three rounds. Man. Just a fascinating, fascinating individual. You know, grew up on the streets, Customato took him in under his wing. And when you have him on, you're not sure what you're getting. You're not sure which Mike Tyson you're getting. But when he's playful, he is funny. He's engaging. And, you know, there's a childlike quality to Mike.
So nice of you to say that, dear. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Todd. Wasn't it yesterday the anniversary when Mike fought Michael Spinks?
Yep.
The 91 seconds? 91 seconds.
We spent more time talking about it.
Yes. God. There are just certain things I'm so fortunate that I was able to witness. And all the great athletes and all the great events. And there's something about a title fight. It brings out some real characters. And once that bell sounds, like, there's no place to hide. That's what I love about boxing. No timeouts. It's you. It's me. And one of us is going to get out of this ring alive. And that was always the case with Mike. That you'd hear that ding, and I'd go, oh, man, you just hold your breath. And when I saw him fight my, Joe Frazier's son, Marvis Frazier, and Michael Spinks, and I thought, oh, my God, they're going to get killed. I truly thought that Mike could kill somebody in the ring because he loved to do that uppercut, and he wanted to push your nose into your brain. I mean, he was violent. He was telling you he was going to be violent. This wasn't the sweet science. There was no science whatsoever. It was violence, and he made no excuses for that.
I could picture my fist going through the opponent's back of his neck, like back of his skull. I told Oprah that once. I punched him right through the back of his skull.
I think you're getting that down pretty well.
Working on it.
But let's get Tyson on, and then I want you to do Tyson to Tyson.
I don't find that particularly funny. Where do you live?
In studio.
Oh, boy.
Would you do it in studio if I had Mike Tyson sitting over by me, and I would say, hey, Mike, Todd does an impersonation of you.
My only concern is I've seen some interviews that did not go well where he looked like he was going to beat the crap out of the host that brought up, you know, things. We wouldn't be bringing those things up as prison.
But, Todd, content's king.
Yeah. Oh, you mean to watch him actually attack me?
Yeah.
Because he didn't take it
well. It's only one punch.
It's all it takes, though. They can never get up ever again, possibly.
Yeah, but you guys are same size.
One punch could cause major brain damage to a person.
It could.
Mike Tyson, even at his age?
Tyson's older than you.
I don't know. I'd rather him just go play with his pigeons and his cannabis.
Yeah.
And I would. I would do that. If he ever came in studio, I would do the impersonation.
You would do the impersonation?
I would roll the dice on that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Yeah, Seton.
But even just like Mike Tyson's, like the black trunks and those black shoes, everything about him was just like.
And no robe?
Yeah, no. Right. Yeah, right, right. There was like no flash to him whatsoever.
Well, it's like he left the car running. And he went into the ring.
Yeah.
I'll be out in a second. Let me go knock this punk out, and I'll be out. Hey, what took so long? I bit his ear. You know, it got crazy in there. I don't know.
That opening stare down with his eyes going back and forth, staring at his opponent, was like so creepy, scary.
It's like a bull. Yeah. When a bull's ready to attack and just like, that was that feeling you got when Tyson came in. Fascinating. Fascinating.
I don't like to talk about that anymore. But I don't want people asking me about my boxing.
Thank you, Tony.
Move on. From
thank
me.
You, Tony. Big night last night in baseball. Shohei Ohtani did it at the plate and on the mound. He also had the Dodgers, Clayton Kershaw. He's probably on his way to maybe another Cy Young, which would be a great story for him. Ohtani, those are impressive numbers. He's got 28 home runs so far. The 76ers, I guess, they're going to figure out or find out here in the next day or at the end of the day if James Harden is going to come back. If I'm the 76ers, why do they keep churning through players? They've had a lot of players. And I don't. Are we still in the process here? Because they did have Jimmy Butler. Tobias Harris is going to be on his way out. Is James Harden on his way out? Ben Simmons was on his way out. Is Joel Embiid one day going to go, why am I staying here? I'm not the problem. Why is it that, you know, you keep changing my teammates on me?
So, like, nobody works here? Just me?
Yeah.
Nobody else? Because, yeah, then you have to be like, maybe it is me. The coaches aren't working.
Yeah.
All of the other players aren't working.
Yeah. If you're Philadelphia, do you want him? Like, I would prefer he opted out. No. Although I think Houston is kind of quietly creating a pretty good roster that they may go after, you know, Fred VanVleet. They might add a couple of guys in free agency. And the Rockets could be an interesting team. Could be an interesting team. But James Harden, I think, just wants to be able to have some fun. Yeah, I played some pressure in pressure situations. Didn't go well. I'd like to get back to being able to shoot whenever I want to. Because I thought if you gave me Harden at 21-10, man, I'll take that if he buys into that. And then we had these wild fluctuating scoring performances in the playoffs where he's like, hey, he got 45, and then he got 13, and then he got 39, and then he got 12. And I'm thinking, I just want you to be a playmaker, man. And Maybe he does want to go back to Houston. And if he does, for comfort, home, whatever, he loved it there, great. But that's the guy that you want to see. I want to see him succeed, but I just don't think it's going to happen. Yeah, Paul.
Houston's got young guys. Remember the kid, Jalen Green, the guard? Yep. Supposed to be a great scorer. What is he having, like 22 a game?
Yeah.
Does that seem, adding a guy who completely takes the ball out of your hands half the game, positive for development?
If I'm a young guy, I don't want James Harden coming to town. Be like, no. We're the ones building this. You had your opportunity. It didn't go well. But this is, big week for free agency, opting in, opting out week. What's poll question for the final hour?
Seton O'Connor gave us, I'd rather play off of LeBron and Bronny, of course. I'd rather play with my kid, against my kid, 77% with my boy or girl.
Yeah, I don't know if this is going to happen. It's a mock draft. Had the Hawks taking Bronny at 17. We got a long way to go. Long way to go to get there. But I think LeBron co-signed on this. Like, all right, yeah, James gang. And I went, I don't think so. Don't see it happening.
Feels pretty comfy in L.A.
Yeah.
Nothing against Atlanta, but feels like he's got a pretty good setup going right now.
Yeah.
I'm Bronny James. I may stay at USC a second year if I think I'm going to the Hawks.
Yeah. How long do I have to stay at USC before my dad retires?
More national TV games at USC, more money probably.
Yeah.
I bet you could make more money. What, they say 18th pick of the draft? 17th pick of the draft. I mean, it's salary. I know he's going to get lots and lots and lots of endorsements, but He'd do just as well at USC, probably.
Well, he's going to make that money no matter what.
Sure, endorsement.
He'll make it when he goes to the NBA. But the fact that he's going to make, whatever, $7 million in name, image, and likeness in college, he'll make that and his salary when he goes to the NBA. You know, I have some point spreads here that just came out. This is from DraftKings. We've talked about the Thursday night opener with the Lions against the Chiefs, and that's still 6.5. Lions getting 6.5. The Jets, that Monday night game against the Bills, Bills favored at the Jets by 1.5. 1.5. 1.5. The Dolphins against the Chargers, Dolphins getting 2.5. Bengals against the Browns, Bengals giving 2.5. The largest spread opening weekend, according to DraftKings, the Ravens against the Texans, 9. So, random, but, you can also bet on this. The longest reception over under in the NFL this upcoming season. And you want to take a guess. This is the over under longest reception of the season, according to DraftKings. And it's not person, it's yardage. Todd, longest reception over under is?
81.5.
Seton O'Connor.
87.
Paul.
89.5.
92.5.
We were trending upwards.
Longest run this year. Longest rush. Rush. Over under. Todd?
68.5.
Seton O'Connor.
97.5.
Quarterback this year, according to
457.
I didn't call on you yet.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. You're disqualified. Todd?
503.
Paul?
That's a long pause.
The long pause and finger point was very dramatic.
Yeah, I thought you were accusing me of something.
Paul?
I don't know. 545.
502.5.
Get out of here.
Cheater.
Yes.
I said 503.
I know.
That's pretty wild that I would be that.
That's why I paused and then Paul?
I should have known.
I was trying to give you a heads up there.
I'm not good at this.
That was an amazing guess by me. I'm not getting enough credit for that one just now. I just randomly said 503 and it was 502.5 and it was 503 or whatever.
Is this a skill?
I think that's like guessing. What I just did was like a big jar of jelly beans. And I said, I don't know, there's 1,218 in there. And you're like, no, there's 1,219 in there.
You know who's a big jar of jelly beans? You.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Big jar of jelly beans.
I like the purple ones. I like the grape jelly
beans. At the bank where they say, look at all the jelly beans.
Yeah.
Essentially what I just did was guess all the jelly beans.
That was incredible, Todd. You know what?
How about a
round of
off.
Applause for
Thank
Todd.
You. Jeez, I got to beg for it.
What a skill.
Yeah.
A wildly amazing guest.
Incredible skill that you have. Incredible skill.
The other ones, we were talking about a 100-yard field, so it's either going to be 88 or 83 or 94. This was like, it could be anything. It could be 412 yards. It could be 650 yards. And I said, forget it.
Are you done?
Yeah, I think the
done.
Point was made.
Yeah.
Like a jelly bean.
No, are you done?
How many coins in the jar?
No, you are done. You know, on this show, when you ask for more credit, it always works out really, really well.
Yeah.
Let's take a victory lap, Todd.
All right.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thanks a lot. Yeah. It was pretty awesome, though.
Yeah. How about we take a break here? When we come back, John Wertheim, he is a 60 Minutes correspondent. He just went over to talk to the Minister of Sports in Saudi Arabia. An interesting back and forth at one point in the interview. And I want to ask him, what is the bigger picture here? What's the end game for the Saudi, this public investment fund? Are they coming to the NFL or the NBA or baseball? We'll talk to John Wertheim from 60 Minutes, and we'll do so coming up next. We're back after this. Barbecue, chicken, ranch, sliders. Now, I'm just suggesting this, not asking for this. KingsHawaiian.com, recipe inspirations. And they provided so many great recipe inspirations that, you can't go wrong. Because, first of all, you start with the sweet pre-rolls, or the sweet rolls, the pre-sliced slider buns, with the perfectly sweet and salty pretzel slider buns. Those are just good as a snack. You don't have to put anything on those buns. But This is what's on the barbecue chicken ranch sliders. If I ever become a voiceover guy in a commercial, this is what I'm going to be
You're
doing.
You're getting us really hungry right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess there's chicken.
Rotisserie chicken.
I'm going to guess there's ranch dressing.
Barbecue sauce. Shredded cheddar. That was my nickname in high school. Red onion. Roasted peppers. Ranch dressing. And a touch of jalapeno and cilantro.
On a King's Hawaiian pretzel.
On the OG. Shut up, Todd. Go to your local store. Pick up the... That's what it says in the copy.
It says, oh, shut up, Todd. That was in parentheses.
Fluffy,
so you chose
irresistible
that.
King's Hawaiian rolls. And enjoy. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll talk to John Wertheim. He is a 60 Minutes correspondent. Did a story on sports washing. He went to Saudi Arabia, sat down with the minister of sports over there, kind of figuring out what is the bigger picture. What other sports would they like to invest in? And John joins us now. John, thanks for joining us. What concerns you or should concern you or us about the so-called partnership that the Saudi Investment Fund has with the PGA Tour moving forward?
You know, this still has to pass regulators, a lot of details. Even this 5-6 page framework that we saw still sort of leaves more questions unanswered than answered. And I think the bigger picture is just what is our comfort level with this investment fund and this kind of money coming into sports? Some of this is the morals that Jay Monahan, among others, have alluded to, but also some of this is just what does it do to sports when one of the players has a completely different set of economics than everybody else.
Well, you've talked about this, that your return on investment, most people get into sports, buy a team, and there's a return on investment. The Saudis aren't concerned about that.
Well, they want a return on investment. It's just a much different, Dan Snyder, Josh Harris buys a team from Dan Snyder and he's, here are our broadcast contracts and here are the suites and here's some real estate play I can make. This is a completely different set of math with the Saudis. This is about rebranding a country, and there's this Vision 2030 plan with a sort of national plan to completely transform the country, and sports figures very prominently. That's a lot different of a balance sheet than, are we selling enough suites and are we going to get our media rights renewed?
But are they really trying to change, or are they trying to give the appearance that they're trying to change?
That's a great question. And when I went to Saudi Arabia, I mean, to their credit, I sat down across from the sports minister, and they made him available. And on the one hand, they were saying, you know, we don't even think sports washing is a thing. Look, we're lucky enough to have a lot of money, and we're going to invest it in sports. It's a great way to motivate the kids. We have a young population. We'll, you know, put down your phone and your chalupa and start running laps, and it's a great way to. And then on the other hand, they said, look at all these cranes. We're really trying to update our economy. We're trying to diversify. Look at all this growth and development and tourism. So on the one hand, this sort of, you know, it's not about throwing money around. It's not about laundering a reputation. It's just about helping the kids. And then they would pivot and say, sports is one of the pillars of this national transformation.
How nervous were you?
I think not, because one thing that became really clear was that this Jamal Khashoggi, you know, this murder, dismemberment, 5 years later is still the first thing that people cling on to. When everyone's trying to build a sports washing case, this is the first thing that they have to answer for. And I think that, you know, it's crass and vulgar to think of it in these terms, but this was a horrible mistake that probably cost them $1 trillion. I mean, this is the very first thing when sports washing comes up is the dismemberment of a journalist. And so I think they know that they have a lot to answer for. And this is, you know, there's a set of talking points, and they still deny the content of the CIA report that that this went all the way up to MBS, to Mohammed bin Salman, the Crown Prince, and that he had either ordered it or okayed it. They still take issue with that. But I think they know that this is something that sort of, this murder, I think, has accelerated all of this investment in sports washing, because they've really had to double down on saying to the rest of the world, hey, wait, we're just like you. We love Bruno Mars, and we love, you know, the NBA, golf, and soccer as well.
What else will the Saudis buy? NFL, NBA, baseball, are they interested in that?
Absolutely. I mean, part of it is just, we all love sports. These franchises don't go down in value. It's a great way to build bridges and tear down walls. I mean, I also think just practically, these teams get bought by individuals. And when it's, you know, when it's Marge Schott and, you know, Red McCombs and the local car deal, we're not in that era anymore. I mean, these are, you know, these are $4, 5, 6 billion properties. There are not a lot of individuals that have that spare change lying around. I mean, I just think as franchise values go up, it stands to reason that we're gonna have to go outside the US to find these billionaires. But, you know, these investment funds, we saw this week that, you know, Ted Leonsis, and in Washington, it's not Saudi, it's Qatari, but they're taking a minority stake in, you know, the Wizards and the Mystics and the Capitals. We're seeing in, you know, inevitably now, there was an announcement a few days ago that Saudi is looking into partnering with tennis. I mean, I think this beachhead, this sort of normalization with the PGA, I think is going to lead to a much bigger Saudi presence in sports. You know, I mean, I think we got to spend 30 seconds. Like, I don't, maybe it's not a bad thing. Maybe this really is a way to break down boundaries. You know, the athletes love it. Values, you know, money is getting, look at the PGA Tour. I mean, money is being inserted into the ecosystem. I mean, I think we're all rightfully cynical, but I also think that we ought to reserve like a little column for, hey, maybe this isn't a bad thing.
Yeah, I know. We can be hypocritical on a variety of fronts here. We're talking to John Wertheim, the 60 Minutes correspondent. I'm also wondering about this, that you had this back and forth with the Saudi. I don't know what his official title is, the Minister of Sports.
Before, yeah.
Where you were talking about, you know, the beheadings that they had, like, 80 people who were beheaded, if that's the number. And then he brought up, well, you had this mass shooting in Texas. And then you said, yeah, but that wasn't government ordered there. And I thought it was an interesting exchange between you two. What was the room like when that exchange happened, John?
Yeah, there were some tense moments there. I mean, I think the playbook, and we saw this, right? I mean, I sort of got a little preview. Sometimes you go back, you do your research, and you sort of anticipate what responses are. And in this case, I think the golfers gave me a lot of sense of what to anticipate, because everyone's got the same talking points, which is no one is perfect. We all wish we lived in a peaceful world. You know, wake me up, tea without the first. You know, if you live in a perfect country, raise your hand. I would say there ought to be some basic standards. And yeah, I mean, the mass shootings are terrible. We wish we didn't have them, but I would submit there's a difference between that and especially when, I mean, the other part of that is especially when A, the state actor is the one making the investment, and B, when this is part of a strategy. You know, people have also said, well, I don't understand. You have an iPhone, or how come we don't care that the Saudi has a big take in Facebook and so many American companies? They haven't invested in Facebook as a strategy for rebranding the country. And I think that's the distinction I would make.
One of the first stories you did, I think, for 60 Minutes was profiling Shohei Ohtani. What you knew then or found out then and where he is now, I think we're trying to understand what motivates him and you know, the surroundings that he's in and free agency. And does he want to be in New York? You know, he's on the periphery of L.A. by being in Anaheim. Did you like glean anything from him of his personality and what makes him comfortable?
He struck me as a really weird mix. I mean, weird. I mean, it was a really sort of fascinating mix of supreme confidence, right? I mean, he wasn't going to let some agent, he wasn't going to let some manager. I mean, he wanted to play both ways, and he was absolutely firm that he could do it and he would do it. I mean, it was a deal breaker. And at the same time, there was such a humility. He had no interest in, you know, I people say, well, you know, he's only going to end up on one of three markets because you have a star like that and all the money he could make. And I had people close to him saying they don't understand him. He loves baseball. He loves his family. He's a simple guy. He doesn't want the publicity. He's not interested in going to the hottest club in South Beach or living in Lower Manhattan. And I think in a weird way, it was appropriate. I mean, he went to a West Coast, you know, obviously it's closer to home, marginally so. It's all about the baseball, and it sounds like such a cliche. But, you know, you'd ask him what he'd do for fun, and he would have a hard time remembering his favorite place to eat in Sapporo. But then you'd mention Clayton Kershaw, and his eyes would light up. He was a fascinating guy, but I think it's sort of our theme for the conversation. He has a different set of motivations than what we are used to. This is not about doing production deals and a podcast and maxing out his endorsement portfolio. Different economics.
Well, I wonder if that bodes well for the Angels, because they let him pitch and hit, and there's a comfort level there, and it feels like he gets into a routine. He's simple. He likes the routine. He likes the people. He likes the environment.
100%. And I think that, you know, if somebody's whispering his ear, hey, come to this snazzy big, I can get you a meeting with so-and-so and you'll sit courtside at Knicks games. I think he loves that he's not even the biggest team in the market he's in. And he's in Orange County. I mean, even now, that story, I think, was 2017. I mean, how many long sit-down interviews have you seen? He keeps himself. He goes to the ballpark. He loves baseball. They're not hassling him about it. You know, pitch counts, and we want to cut down on your starts. I think it's you wish the team were winning more games. I think baseball wishes the team were more relevant. I think it's kind of a perfect situation for him.
What's your next sports story coming up?
Oh man, for 60, I'm heading to Wimbledon. Head to Wimbledon in a few hours. We'll see if the new all-time leader in major singles titles wants to do a 60 Minutes piece, Novak Djokovic.
He's fascinating.
Absolutely.
But does he like talking about being fascinating?
He loves talking about being fascinating. The fascinating thing, it's so funny too, because you watch the NBA Finals, and there's another Serbian who doesn't have much to say.
I know.
This guy's really complicated, and he does some things that are fantastic, and he does some things that are just colossally, I mean, you wonder who's advising him. And he's kind of happy to talk about all of it. He's 36 years old now. So we've all sort of watched this story unfold.
John, he's the Aaron Rodgers of tennis.
He's the Aaron Rodgers of tennis with the Barry Bonds, with the home run record. I mean, for 15 years, everybody sort of wanted to see who'd retire with the most majors. And he's moved ahead. He's probably not given up the lead, and he's not done. And yeah, and then he's got this Aaron, you're right, though. He's got this Aaron Rodgers side to him, and he's still unvaccinated, and he still plays his first round of the French Open, and he signs the camera with a message of Kosovo. You know, usually athletes run screaming from, this is like an American athlete signing the something about the Dobbs decision, one way or the other. I mean, this guy not avoid controversy, and he's really a fascinating, maddening character.
Safe travels, John. Thanks for joining us.
Anytime. Thanks, Dan.
John Wertheim, 60 Minutes correspondent. He had some things to say about Ohtani because he profiled him on 60 Minutes, I believe, back in 2017. So we've had some time here. He's had time to adjust to baseball in the United States, sort of social media, where he fits kind of in the pantheon here of athletes, celebrities. Doesn't seem like he wants to embrace it, or he hasn't embraced it, and he could easily embrace it. But also, he might be comfortable. Like, I always thought Ichiro was comfortable in Seattle. Tony Gwynn was comfortable in San Diego. Cal Ripken in Baltimore. They're just certain players, certain cities. Tim Duncan in San Antonio. And, you know, Shohei Ohtani may be that kind of athlete that, hey, I'm comfortable here. He's going to want to be compensated, well compensated. I don't know if he's going to get a 10-year deal for $600 million. It wouldn't surprise me, but, you know, we may be thinking, well, it's the Angels and the Dodgers or the Yankees, throw them in there. Maybe one other team. Maybe San Francisco as an outlier there because they were in it with Aaron Judge. Boston. But I don't know if he's comfortable in these places. And I think that will play a large role. Certainly sounds like that. But I did tell you about that exchange that John Wertheim had with the Minister of Sports in Saudi Arabia. And so you're there and you're having this conversation where John brings up that whatever 80 people were beheaded in one day. And then the Minister of Sports said, well, you had the mass shooting in Texas. And then John says, yes, but that wasn't government ordered. And I could just imagine. Well, no, I can't imagine. Can't imagine what that would be like. Where you're going, do I want to go back to my room anytime soon here?
Pretty ballsy.
Yeah. Could somebody, you know what? How about you just take me to the airport? I think we're done here. I think we're good. All right, let's close up shop here. Last call for phone calls. What we learn, what's in store tomorrow. We're back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Pauly Fusco here with Tony Fusco.
Yo.
Of course, you know us as the host of the number one rated show in all of sports talk, the Pauly and Tony Fusco Show.
Yeah.
Now, the suits at Fox Sports Radio gave us this airtime because they wanted us to tell you how great our show is.
Why?
Yeah, instead of us doing that, let's just let our millions of fans do the talking.
Yeah, play the tape.
You don't know crap about sports. I mean, why am I even on this crap?
Whoa. That's the wrong tape.
Wrong tape.
Just forget that. Look, listen to the Pauly and Tony Fusco Show on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last call for phone calls. What we learn, what's in store tomorrow. Hopefully, we'll have Marvin back. Haven't heard from him. He was going in for jury duty. He was wondering if he wore a T-shirt, one of our T-shirts, if maybe he wouldn't be picked. And we were wondering, could he do the one about his plums? What's the official saying on that T-shirt, Todd?
I could feel it in my plums.
Feel it in my plums. That's a Will Ferrell line, yeah. I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about the with a question mark, if you went in with a T-shirt like that?
Huh?
Yeah. What other T-shirts could he have worn that we've come up with here?
I'm doing my best.
Ooh.
Maybe hey, oh, take, yeah, I'm trying my best. Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying my best. Yeah. Philosophically, they'd be concerned about that guy. There's issues with that.
Yeah. This is the best this guy could do right here.
Yeah, because Marvin, I think he was doing, you know, his public service, but I think he wanted to be here with us on the show. We were wondering, is there something he could have worn that maybe would have helped him out of jury duty?
We used to have a shirt with Paul kicking Landon Donovan in the nuts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you could do that.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Capital punishment there.
I don't know if that'll help or hurt you.
World Cup check, I believe.
Oh, that's right.
I think I was receiving the kick in the groin.
Oh, were you
yes,
getting
you
kicked? Yeah. Oh, that's what it was. Yeah, yeah.
Special day.
Sorry, yeah. I had it backwards.
Yeah, Landon Donovan kicked Paulie
kicked
in the groin.
Paul in the nuts.
Fantastic
yeah.
moment.
Yeah. Let's see. Final results of the poll question, Todd.
Do you want to play with or against your kid if given the opportunity? And hanging strong at 78%, rather play with your child.
All right. I'd rather play. Ty in Missouri. Hi, Ty. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. Danettes. I just wanted to say one of the shirts that Marvin could wear could be the Suck It Back Row, perhaps. And
yeah. If he's in the front row of the jury pool... And it says, suck it back row. You're right. That would be pretty good. Okay. What else do you have?
I think that's...
Ty?
Oh, I was also going to say, Paul had mentioned about the infamous bite from Holyfield and Mike Tyson's fight.
Yeah.
I thought it was provoked because Holyfield had headbutted Mike enough times where Mike had gotten pissed off and then took a nice chunk out of Holyfield's ear. I wonder if that was right or not.
Yeah, I think that's how Mike perceived it, that he was being headbutted and he was going to take matters into his own mouth. See what I did with that?
Yeah, yeah.
Not his hands, his
Very
mouth.
Well
Thank
done.
You, Todd. Thank you, Todd. Dustin in Alabama. Good morning, Dustin. What's on your mind?
What up, though? One time for Jeff in Detroit. I got a Southern style pecan pie to the face bet, and then a quick comment after yesterday's call in. So, pie to the face bet that I believe the Saints and the Detroit Lions will face off in the NFC Championship game. So, if any of you or Jeff in Detroit would like to take that bet,
Dustin, Paulie's going to take that bet.
All right. And then, my comment.
And now we're talking about this year. Dustin, we're talking about this year. Saints-Lions NFC title game.
Saints-Lions NFC title game.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And then for calling me out on my trivia yesterday, Barry in Santa Fe can suck it where he wants, Winnie won, and Chippy won.
All right, Dustin.
See ya.
All right.
Play ya.
I think he had the, was that the Thin Lizzy trivia question?
That's an A-plus call right
there. That was great.
Well done, Dustin.
Yep, well
done. I like that, dude.
That's content.
That's funny. Bro.
Content's king. Kevin in,
where he wants.
Kevin in Cincinnati. Hi, Kev. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing, DP and the Dublin Bound DS?
Good.
Hey, listen, I got the name for Victor Wambayama.
Okay.
The name is the French Wamba.
Like the Kobe,
okay. So, like the Black Mamba.
Yeah, French Wamba. I think we've had that suggested already. I think that's a good one, though, the French Wamba.
Yeah. I still like the French Chise.
Yeah, the French Chise is French Chise.
Escargot is pretty good. That's funny. And then the French Prince instead of the Fresh Prince. I like the French Chise. I'm good with that. I think that makes sense, right? This day in sports history, Paul.
Mike Tyson in 97 bit Holyfield's ear, three-round fight. 1971, the U.S. Supreme Court overturned the draft evasion conviction of Muhammad Ali. Mm-hmm. 1995, the NBA draft was held in blank. The first time the draft was held outside the United States. The NBA draft was held where? First time it was held outside the United States. 95 expansion team?
Canada,
Sky Dome, Toronto.
Okay.
That is sports history.
Okay. This date, 2007, the Celtics couldn't get the number one or number two pick in the draft, Greg Oden or Kevin Durant. They traded Delonte West, Wally Szczerbiak, and the number five pick overall, which turned out to be Jeff Green, to the Sonics for Ray Allen. A month later, Boston would acquire Kevin Garnett from the Timberwolves, sparking one of the biggest one-season turnarounds in NBA history. Man, both of those deals. Yeah, I forgot that they did that. They were trying to trade up to one or two to get Oden or Kevin Durant. Oh, man. The Dream Team wins its first exhibition game. This might be a Trivial Pursuit question down the road. 1992, the Dream Team, first exhibition game. Can you guess the country? Final score, 133-57. Sheesh. I had this team and 80 points.
Can you give us a hemisphere?
No. Because I may not know what that hemisphere is.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Australia?
No. Todd?
Is that where Barkley had that famous comment about the country he was going to like?
No, that was in the Olympics, Angola. Mm,
I was going to say Angola.
Yeah. Well, you would be wrong. Mm. Sean O'Connor, would you like to wager a guess?
How about Israel?
Israel?
Yeah.
Okay. Cuba.
Oh, Cuba.
Cuba.
That was allowed back then? I didn't know that.
I didn't know that was allowed back then in 1992, but beat Cuba. I don't know where they faced Cuba. I don't think they went
probably
to.
Probably not there.
Yeah, probably not there.
Checking.
I'm going to. Great.
I remember there was this, I don't know who was doing play-by-play for Seattle, for the Sonics back then.
Yeah.
But Ray Allen was just like going off one night. It's one of my favorite calls ever. But the guy goes, Ray Allen is hearing signals from other planets. That guy was funny, man. I don't remember his name.
That sounds like something we would have said on SportsCenter.
Yeah. Man, that dude is funny.
Back then, we got away with a lot. Yeah. Because management wasn't staying up till 11 o'clock. I mean, that was how we knew that they weren't staying up, because we would say stuff and we were like, oh, man, they're definitely going to call us on the carpet. Next day, he'd walk in and then, you know, he'd walk by our boss and he'd go, hello. And we'd go, hello, Bob. And then I was like, yep, he didn't stay up to watch us on SportsCenter.
So
yes, Paul?
USA-Cuba box score. Michael Jordan, 2 of 6 from the field.
Overrated.
Only 6 points. Cuba owned him.
What did you learn today, Todd?
Tim Hasselbeck cut by the Ravens right in front of everyone on HBO's Hard Knocks.
He was a good guest today. Great appearance. Seton, what did you learn today?
John Wertheim's got some cojones.
Yes, he does. Paulie?
USA-Cuba was played in Portland, Oregon.
Discover credit cards do something pretty awesome. At the end of your first year, they automatically double the cash back you've earned. Everything you've earned doubled. Cash back from trips and restaurants. See the terms and check it out for yourself. Discover.com/match. Thanks for the phone calls, the emails, the tweets, the all-around support. Our pleasure to serve you. For Todd and Marvin, Seton, Paulie, yours truly, talk to you tomorrow.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.